Happy Super Bowl week, everybody. This is Greg, a.k.a. Ginger King, and I'm here with
the one, the only, Roy Rage.
And we are the Big Red Sports Machine, and we're going to get right to it today, guys. This has been this is quite the week. It's been about 13 days with no football, and it's all leading up to what's really going to be the greatest game and the two best teams, and let's get right to it, Brian.
Yeah, you're right. We got the two best teams. Both teams 13-3 in the regular season. And really, it's strength against strength here. You got the Broncos coming in with their high-powered offense led by Peyton Manning, obviously, and his receiving core. And on the opposite side of the ball, you got the Seahawks who play really a ground and pound on offense, but really it's their defense that's been speaking volumes and carrying them this whole way. So it's number one offense, number one defense. We're going to see how it gets done.
No, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't want to give away my Super Bowl prediction picks, you know, a minute 20 into the show, but it's the number one offense against the number one defense. I mean, this is the matchup that everybody wants to see, despite our East Coast sports bias. I think it's the two best teams in each conference, and we'll get into the matchups in a little bit here. But let's talk about what else is going on during the old Super Bowl week. You know, one of the greatest things about having this extra week is the old media week. It brings out all the crazies, man.
Always lively.
It is. So, man, where do we want to start?
Well, we had we just had our Tuesday teabag posted up here, and it was a fine piece, Greg. I gotta say, and you blasted none other than Don Shula. I mean,
yeah,
you gotta go after the 90-year-old crowd now.
I know. I first of all, he's 84, so he's okay. Free game, but. I felt a little bad, you know, ragging on Grandpa here, but you know, it really sums up, you know, I think everyone's fears here that, oh my God, this Super Bowl is going to be in an outdoor cold weather environment, sound the alarms. I think is ridiculous. I mean, number one, why does the Super Bowl have to be in a pristine, you know, climate controlled environment? I mean, you look at some of the best games that have ever been played, the Ice Bowl, the Tuck game, you know, when the Giants beat Green Bay in the NFC Championship game, and it's 40 below, and Tom Coughlin's face is about to fall off. I mean,
even the playoff game in Green Bay this year,
yeah,
when the Niners went in there, and it was negative 30 wind chill, or whatever it was.
So why is it acceptable in those games, but all of a sudden, now the weather's going to affect the Super Bowl? I mean, it makes no sense. And, you know, Shula's argument that, you know, he's concerned about the fans and, you know, the fans not getting the proper experience is just, you know, it's total bullshit. I mean, number one, ticket prices are actually the cheapest they've ever been in recent history for a Super Bowl.
And there's nothing to do in New York City when you're trying
to. Yeah, right. I mean, really dull town. I mean, really everybody closes up shop at around 5 o'clock. I mean, you look at, what does the NFL do? Boom, they take over Midtown for the week. I mean, come on, it's going to be the greatest Super Bowl experience.
Absolutely, and I think this whole thing is going to be a smashing success, and I think it's going to lead to more of these outdoor games. I think, you know, you look at Chicago, well, having a Super Bowl at Soldier Field, how awesome would that be?
Why not?
So I think I like it, and you know, it's, you know, let's get a little elements. It looks like it's going to be a good day. Actually, it's going to be a 30-degree day, mild winds, not very much precipitation. So to me, the whole weather thing is going to be a non-story in this whole Super Bowl. I think it's going to be a really good game, and you know, the weather is going to be an afterthought. So. Yeah, I don't know. Shula's probably a little jaded ever since, losing to the Jets in the Super Bowl. And the Colts got trounced there by Broadway Joe. You know, maybe the whole New York City thing is just conjuring up bad memories.
I get it. And he's old. His bones are brittle. He doesn't want to be out in the cold. But, Hey, you know what? You know what it also shows is it shows that that our boy Roger Goodell, also known on this program as RG1, he's got some stones. I mean, look at him. He's just mixing it up. He doesn't have to. He could keep it in Miami, in Tampa, in New Orleans. But you know what? He doesn't. And guys, he's innovative. And I'm telling you, I think you're right. This is going to go down as probably one of the, you know, one of the better Super Bowls in terms of experience and venue, and probably is going to lead to other ones.
Everything he touches turns to gold.
Man's a genius.
Genius. All right. We also, you know, media day is a lot of the attention's going actually the Seahawks way. Really for the end of the game, how the end of the NFC Championship game ended. Which was on a fantastic defensive play. I mean, that's first and foremost. What a play by Richard Sherman. Full extension. Bats the ball away from Crabtree to his own defender. Game over. 22 seconds on the clock. Just a fantastic defensive play. One of the best defensive plays you're going to see from a cornerback. Certainly this year and maybe ever. But it wasn't the actual play that's been getting the run in the media. It's another, what I think, is a non-story. And, you know, Sherman, they stick a microphone in his face, you know, 30 seconds after the final whistle against his Seahawks arch rival. Emotional game. These guys are going out there doing battle, bashing each other's brains in. And you want them to be politically correct at that point? I just don't get that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not only is it the Seahawks, you know, arch rival, but it's also... Sherman's arch rival.
Yeah.
These guys got in a fight early in the season at a charity softball event. I mean, so there's history between these two guys, and you know, so how many times is that going to line up when you're playing, you know, your team's arch enemy and you're going against your own arch enemy? They're marching down. It looked like inevitable that San Francisco was going to go down. And they were gonna score the touchdown, and it just had that sense to it. And all of a sudden, you know, Sherman, like you said, full extension, not only bats the ball away, but tips it to his player. I mean, game over. And yeah, you know, let the crazy begin. So I mean, I got no problem with his interview with Aaron Andrews or with Ed Warder at ESPN. I mean, I think where he took a little bit over the top is at the post-game press conference. I mean, after he had a chance to cool down, take a shower, you know, throw on his suit, you know, maybe get a little humble at that point and just soak in the fact that you're going to the Super Bowl. So, but the, you know, the in the moment trash talk, love it.
Love it. Yeah, it's, you know, and I think Crabtree is a fine receiver. I think he's got great hands, great route runner, and I think he's a really good receiver in this league. So it was kind of funny to hear Sherman say that he was mediocre.
Yeah, 1,000 times.
But that's what I want my cornerback to think. You know, I want him thinking he's better than everyone, that when you play me, you're mediocre. You know, Sherman's really, he talks a lot of game, but he backs it up. I can remember in the offseason, he got into a little Twitter war with Revis, and yeah. Revis was telling him to, you know, get my name out of your mouth during this conversation of cornerbacks. You're not in my league. Well, guess what? Sherman's every bit the cornerback Revis is.
Yeah.
This guy is the number one lockdown corner in the league right now.
Yeah.
And in that NFC Championship game, the 49ers threw the ball to him two times. One time end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, teams just aren't throwing the ball his side of the field. He's physical. He's got the long arms. He can run with you. He's everything you want in a corner. He's not afraid to mix it up, and he backs up everything he says with his game on the field.
Yeah, and the man, he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's a fifth-round draft pick, and, you know, who does he blame for that? His old college coach there, Jim Harbaugh, who happened to be the coach of the Niners. So, arch rival, your arch enemy against your old college coach that you feel slighted you, you know, in college, and match all that up, and you make the play that brings your team to the Super Bowl against all of that.
And let's not pretend that he's the only guy that talks trash.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, in sports. I mean, it's since the beginning of sports, there's been trash talking. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Crabtree catches that pass. You think he walks over to Sherman, shakes his hand, and says, good game?
Right, right. No. Yeah, I had no issues with it. I think it's a non-story. And it's funny, the shitstorm that followed in the media, that, you know, crushing Sherman for it. You know, they hate guys when they say what they're thinking, but then, you know, they're crushing Marshawn Lynch for not talking to the media.
Right.
They hate it when you don't say anything. And it's, you know, they're just making a story, for selling papers, getting hits on their site. But at the end of the day, I got no issue with either one of those players.
Yeah.
But all right, let's get right into the nuts and bolts of this game. Shall we?
Do it. Let's do it.
We got Peyton Manning going up. This is going to be his toughest test of the season. I don't think the Broncos have really been tested. Now I'm gonna go through their schedule here, Greg, and I want you to stop me when you hear a good defense that the Broncos have played this year.
All right,
that's this year's teams. Ready? Baltimore, Giants, Raiders, Eagles, Cowboys, Jaguars, Colts, Redskins, Chargers, Chiefs.
Nah.
There you go. Nah, I mean, there's the first legitimate. I'll finish this up. The Patriots, the Chiefs again, Titans, Chargers, Texans, Raiders, Chargers again in the playoffs, Patriots again in the playoffs. I mean, you know, you can only play who's on your schedule, but they have not faced a defense like Seattle's this year. On the flip side, you can probably say the same thing about Seattle. They haven't played an offense, obviously, as good as Denver. I mean, we're talking about historically one of the best offenses, you know, ever put together. But they have played the Saints a couple times. The Saints are a prolific passing team. They played the Niners three times, who have offensively can be tough. So I don't know. How do you like Denver's offense going against that Seattle D?
I mean, really, to me, it comes down to, you know, who do you trust more? You know, do you trust Peyton Manning, or do you trust a Richard Sherman? I mean, that's who's gonna have the most who's the best player, and how many opportunities are they gonna have to make plays? And I mean, if we're matching offense to offense, I mean, it's no question. I mean, yeah. I take Peyton Manning over Russell Wilson, you know, and any day of the week. You know, I see a lot of parallels with this Super Bowl, and with Super Bowl 41, the prior Super Bowl that Peyton was in when they played the Bears, right?
Yeah,
Indy had, I think at the time, the number one offense. Bears had the number one defense.
Yep.
You know, I think there's a lot of parallels there. And Peyton, you know, he had for Peyton standards, a mediocre game. I think he threw for about 247 with one touchdown and a pick. Now, I mean, I'm not saying Russell Wilson's Rex Grossman.
Yeah, right.
He's clearly better than that. But, you know, the guy's a second-year player.
Yeah. Right?
And he's going against who could possibly go down being the best player, the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah, but I like Seattle's chance when they got the ball. I mean, sure, they worry on the outside with their the lack of receiving core they have. I mean, can you squeeze another week of production out of the likes of Doug Baldwin? They are getting Percy Harvin back, but, you know, the guy's played, 20 snaps for him this year. So how big of a factor is he going to be even in the game plan going into the game? Outside of those guys, you know, Golden Tate, Jermaine Kearse, I mean, not exactly world beaters there. They don't have a tight end that's going to beat you, Zach Miller. What they do is they're going to pound the ball. I think the Denver's defense can be had. They've really sustained a lot of injuries. You look at Von Miller, who's an elite talent, an elite outside pass rusher. He's gone for the season. They lost Garrett Wolfe. He won't be back for this game. So I think they can run on Denver, and that's what they want to do. They want to ball control, keep the ball out of Peyton Manning's hand, pound it with beast mode. you know, and just let Russell take his few shots when he gets them. But, yeah, I think, you know, what this game is going to come down to is can they get enough? Because they're going to have to score points. I really like Seattle's D in this game, and I think they can do a lot to shut down Manning. But Peyton will get his. They'll get their chunk plays. They'll get a few good drives at a minimum, and they'll score points. It's can you get, you know, 23, 24, 27 points? Because you're going to have to at the end of the day. So how much do you trust Russell Wilson? You know, I love watching the guy play. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's smart. He's a cool customer, but yeah, you're right. He doesn't have a whole lot of experience under his belt.
Right, and like you said, with the kind of unproven receiving core, if beast mode doesn't get going, they're in a world of trouble. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think there's yards to be gained on the ground against Denver's defense, and I think, you know, priority number one for them has to be, hey, we got to plug the holes and we got to stop beast mode, because as our friend Greg Williams said, you know, you kill the head, the body dies, right?
There you go.
So, on the flip side, though, and this is where it all becomes about balance. I mean, if Seahawks shut down Knowshon Moreno and Monte Ball, great. Well, then you can rely on Peyton to throw the ball.
Well, I think, you know, the Seahawks defensively, they're going to come out and they don't surprise you what they're going to do. They line up in the same position. Sherman always is a left cornerback in that defense. They don't blitz a lot. They rely on their front four to get pressure. You'd mentioned Super Bowl 41. This one reminds me a little bit of Super Bowl 42. That's the Giants-Patriots. I mean, obviously, the Giants were a lot more of an underdog going into that game, but you look at the Patriots, they were high-powered offense, right? You're playing against, you know, the Giants. What'd they do? They got after Brady with the front four. They didn't bring a lot of pressure. Then they covered on the back end. What'd they do? They were physical at the line of scrimmage. They you know, played a lot of bump and run, throw the timing off. If you have Sherman locking down the guy on the left side, you're going to have to get up in Wes Welker and get physical with him, throw off the timing with Peyton, make him get happy feet back there, get the pressure on him. That's really the only recipe for beating Peyton Manning. I mean, it's easy to say, but you got to actually execute. That's exactly what the Giants did to Brady in that Super Bowl, and kept it close. I think that's what Seattle's going to try to do. Keep it close. Let's get into the fourth quarter with hopefully a one-score game, and let's go out there and win it. And you know, I think that's got to be their game plan going in.
All right, so let's do it. Let's get to our Super Bowl predictions. I'll start out here. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the latest line is you got Denver giving 2 points. I think it's going to be pretty close. But, you know, when it's all said and done, and, you know, I said it earlier on our prior podcast, but, you know, I think Peyton Manning's finally going to join the ranks of being an elite quarterback like his younger brother Eli and get his second Super Bowl. I see this as a 28-24 type of game that's really going to come down the, you know, really to the last possession. And, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
All right. So you're siding with Floyd Mayweather and his...
I'm going with Floyd. You had 10.4
million reasons, you know, to pick Broncos right there.
I'm going
to
say I threw some scratch on the game, but I'll tell you, it's not 10.4 million like our man money.
Leave it to Floyd. But, you know, I'm going to go the opposite way with this. I really like Seattle's defense. I think they can pester and bug the Broncos and just get them out of sorts on their timing. I think you'll get enough out of Russell Wilson in that offense. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl. It's going to go down as one of the great Super Bowls. At the end of the day, it really could come down to last possession, similar to the NFC Championship game, and it's who's going to make that play or who's going to make that great defensive play. And I'm going to go with Seattle on this one. I think they're going to pull it off. I think they'll win. I like Seattle outright in this, so I'll take the points. But, I think they'll win by 1 or 2 points here, and you know, I think Peyton's gonna have to think long and hard about hanging him up this year.
Well, we're gonna have to make some bets then before the game starts, and yeah, I'll tell you, watch out for this one play. It's gonna be the most unstoppable play, and that's the Peyton Manning naked bootleg. You heard it here first. It's gonna happen, and it's unstoppable. Well, listen, everybody, we'd love to sit and chat with you all day about the Super Bowl. So many things we didn't even get into, you know, the Sapp Strahan feud. But you know what? We'll save those stories for another day. And you heard our Super Bowl picks and our Super Bowl analysis. Brian's obviously wrong. Broncos clearly are going to come out on top. And listen, let's eat some chicken wings and pound some beers and have some fun.